You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Alan Hudspeth of Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama. Good morning, Pastor Hudspeth.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you as our guest today, Pastor. Looking forward to studying God's Word. Tell us about Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama.
Well, Trinity is about a block from the Auburn University campus, thus for strong influence from the university and the students. We have decided to approach our ministry from a relational perspective, celebrating our relationship with God through worship and our devotional life, encouraging one another in that, growing in relationship with one another. We've called that connecting, and then contributing to the needs of the community and growing in relationship there.
Well, glad that that you're there proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and the saints of Trinity are equipped with His good word to share that good news of Jesus, tell that good news of Jesus in their relationships in the community there.
That's it. Yeah.
We're in Acts chapter 22 today, verses 17 through 29. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, the context here is Paul giving defense of the accusation that has been brought against him. He's been accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple area, which was forbidden, and also accused of teaching the Jewish people, not only in Jerusalem, but beyond, to disregard the Mosaic law. And so he's providing his defense for that and his encounter with God along the way.
All right, very good. Acts chapter 22, beginning at verse 17. We're studying with Pastor Hudspeth of Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 22. Verse 17, when I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So he had returned to Jerusalem, praying in the temple, fell into a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here Paul is, in a way, giving some of his defense, identifying himself as clearly a Jewish person, a believer in God, and praying at the temple, an expression of his devotion. And it's interesting, the original word here, I fell into a trance, is the roots of that word for trance are what we have derived the word ecstasy from. So perhaps describing a bit of the beauty and the wonder of the opportunity that we have to connect with our Lord and Savior in prayer, and that it is something of beauty and something that is mysterious in a sense, that draws us beyond ourselves and into the presence of God. And a connection, interestingly, with the lectionary from this past Sunday, in which Jesus was praying and the disciples observing him, and then their moment of asking him, Lord, teach us to pray as you are praying, as John taught his disciples to pray. And so something there being observed by the disciples and the nature of Jesus and John's prayer that was different from prayer that they had known or were exposed to, familiar with. And I think that's the fruit of the gospel that draws us into relationship with God, in which we need not fear, for our sins have been atoned for. And we are welcomed and embraced in the presence of God, and He desires and promises to meet us there. But beyond that, clearly God is watching out for Paul. Quick, leave. The people here will not accept your testimony about me. It's nice to know that God is watching out for us, and yet perhaps not the way that we're always thinking of this, in the sense that our lives are being preserved in an absolute sense. We know Paul ultimately dies as a martyr, and so I believe that what is tucked in between here is the sense that our lives are being preserved for the kingdom of God, and that is the purpose to which we live, and the way that we are orienting ourselves in life is for the kingdom of God, not necessarily for ourselves, but knowing that we are servants in that context, and willing to lay down our lives, because as we know, our Savior laid down his life for us, and servants are not greater than their masters, and so that pattern is set, and we are willing and ready as God's kingdom needs warrant, I guess.
And he said, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you.
Yeah, Paul is saying here, they should hear me. You know, my life, my actions in previous years, granted, you know, several years past. And yet his reputation should have remained there in their memory in a way that he is saying they should hear me out. He's kind of arguing with God or with Jesus in a way. It's not uncommon for those who are called by God to have kind of a question, a wonder, you know. We see this some with Mary and her the message that the angel Gabriel brought to her, you know, you will be with child, and she wonders about this. Going way back, we saw it with Moses and with many other prophets. Those called by God have this questioning, this wonder, and in each case, we're turned away from ourselves and turned towards the Lord and to his sufficiency, and there to realize that our calling is also an enabling and an empowering from God himself to all that he will require or expect of us.
And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him.
Yeah, your martyr, your witness, Stephen. Paul is clearly acknowledging, belongs to God. And there again, the sense of the connection with God and with his kingdom. And we're reminded here of a word from some of our liturgy in terms of funerals. The death of the saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. And so no loss here, that God isn't watching clearly and keenly with full attention as he observed the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross, so also attending to our lives and to the loss of life, and your martyr, Stephen. So Paul acknowledges that, and it's curious that as you'll continue to read here, as the story unfolds, the question of, you know, Paul there watching Stephen and all of this, and perhaps not realizing that his destiny was unfolding before his very eyes there, you know, not in exactly the same fashion, but being called ultimately to witness to the same Lord and Savior, to the same faith and life.
And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.
I'm thinking here of Jonah. You know, I will send you to Nineveh, and Jonah's response by running the other way. And so here, Paul being called by Christ in the midst pursuing the saints in light of the gospel and his understanding following that, finds himself in a different heart and mind, you know, running to the Gentiles as God has called him, and really, you know, his whole life being prepared for exactly that calling. That as he recounts his place of birth and his origins and so on, a Jew and yet also a Roman citizen, you know, strategically placing Paul in a way to uniquely and particularly serve those to whom he was sent. But raising a question, you know, that where Jonah was sent to, Nineveh, is where much of the conflict in the world is kind of circling around today, Iraq, Iran, that whole area. Raising a question, you know, what would happen in the church? You know, would we resent the conversion of those people and those lands to faith in Christ in light of all that is inspiring and perhaps even wondering about, connection with the lectionary last Sunday, the audacity of our prayer to pray our Lord for just that conversion. God bringing peace through Christ to the nations.
Looking at this first paragraph, verses 17 through 21, anything else, Pastor, you'd like for us to learn from this text before we look at the next segment?
I think that's it from my mind right now.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Alan Hudspeth of Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama. We're in Acts chapter 22 today, verses 17 through 29. If you have a question or a comment, the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in Acts chapter 17. We'll pick up at verse 22. Or Acts chapter 22, we'll pick up at verse 22. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is the voice of a mother in the faraway country of Georgia, reading to her six-month-old son about Jesus from a Bible storybook written in the Georgian language. The child's Bible was given to her by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and the Holy Spirit is working powerfully through your support of LHF to make events like these happen every day. Help another family learn of the Savior. Learn how at lhfmissions.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Harrison. Let me tell you about something new and exciting. We call it Life Together, a monthly digital digest where I'll be sharing news and highlights from Synod publications and multimedia outlets. There'll be something for everyone. Each digest will be delivered to your inbox, showing how we live and work together to proclaim the gospel and bear Christ's mercy to one another in our congregations, communities, and the world. Please be sure to subscribe today. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is it's time for the study of the Daily Lectionary, picking up at verse 22, the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor, Pastor Alan Hudspeth from Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama. Listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Let's take a look at verses 22 and following. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging, to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to him, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, Yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. Paul said, But I am a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. So up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices, said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live.
Yeah. With the mention of to the Gentiles, they kind of concluded at that point, apparently, that their suspicions of Paul had been kind of confirmed, you know, that he was teaching Jews to dishonor the Mosaic Code, and also that perchance, you know, likely then he had brought a Gentile into the temple courts, and so they're saying, you know, we've heard enough. This is it.
And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this.
Yeah, there's just a little bit more in that last verse, if I could go back.
Sure.
You know, rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live, is almost it was at least a parallel with the crowd's objection to Jesus and their words against him, you know, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. And so as we look back to the life of our Savior, we recognize that the pattern of Jesus' life with growing opposition leading or culminating to his death and then his resurrection, a similar pattern is unfolding for Paul, that persecution is growing in his life, and that this ultimately then culminates in the fullness of God's time with Paul's the end of Paul's life, as well as he dies a martyr also. But the shouting and throwing off their clothes does kind of take us back to the Paul's mention of Stephen and his martyrdom, and we're beginning to wonder, is there going to be another martyr here? And apparently not just yet, but again, the pattern is there. Interesting that as they stretch Paul out to flog him, let's just recount a little bit of Paul's experience with this procedure. This is not the first time that he has been stretched out and either whipped with the leather lashes that would strip the back, or beaten with rods. And I understand that this was such an excruciating experience that many died undergoing it, or died, you know, shortly after. If they survived, they were severely disabled. Miraculously, then, in Paul's life, having experienced this multiple times up to this point, survives and continues. And I think, again, a witness of God's care and providence for us through great hardship and persecution and difficulty. But I listen to Paul's words, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who has not been found guilty? And it sounds in a way like such a humble, kind of quiet question in such a, you know, a dire situation. But I think exuding the sense of God is with me, and my confidence is in him, you know, in the midst of this. And in the whole scheme of this kind of a balancing of Paul's, you know, responsibility for himself, that he must speak, even as he trusts in God. And so this sense God partnering with us in life and our journeying with Him in a hand-in-hand way, seeking the wisdom of His Spirit, you know, when to speak or when to keep silent, you know, or what to suffer in silence and what to speak against, and God moving and providing for this, but always with a sense of His Spirit and His strength attending us as peacemakers or peacekeepers and so on, but not being distracted or drawn away or drawn out by, you know, reacting to a situation rather than responding to it, you know, from faith and trust in Christ.
So they threw off their cloaks and flung dust into the air. The tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?"
Yeah, Paul knows the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's counting on the answer to that. So he knows that there will be at least, I think, some intervention at this point. And but opening the door there for a turning, you know, in the events as they were beginning to transpire. So it does, you know, that the story turns and Paul does not receive the flogging by the mercy or the grace of God. Appealing to the natural law, the order of things, and letting it have its course in his life.
When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. Why is this a problem? Why is his citizenship important here?"
Well, by law, he could not be bound and could not be beaten without without being found guilty. And so I understand that should a centurion or a commander, you know, the higher-up authority, should they breach or go beyond the law in a way that they would subject themselves to the same consequence. The Romans there had no authority to flog Paul, and so his punishment or the procedure was averted.
When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the centurion passes it along to the tribune. And so the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes."
You know, I had up occasion to travel by air recently and went through the whole, passing through security procedure, you know, having to provide my ID and then my ticket, and having that validated and confirmed, you know, at each station in the security process there at the airport. I'm struck by this, that it apparently is believed by word of mouth, you know. Yes, I am. And what a different time, in a way, that the testimony of the word of a man, if that's the case, but the testimony of the word was sufficient to make the case, you know, that there wasn't some, "Well, prove it," you know, anybody could say that kind of moment. But I'm just wondering if this doesn't reflect something of a change in the orientation of cultures to authority, and that a truthfulness. I think, you know, we look at it in our culture in a time in which we'd say, you know, it wasn't necessary to have signatures on all the documents, but a handshake was sufficient, and a man's word was an extension and expression of his character and his integrity and so on, and that was enough. But as authority is undermined in our culture, our days, and our times, then the questioning and the tensions and the distrust has seemed to have grown for us as a people, and the difficulties are surely compounding. So Paul's claim to citizenship, and I think the respect or the regard for authority, this is for us a fourth commandment issue: honor your father and your mother. Raising, you know, in the second table of the commandments, this at the top of the list, and looking as we go down the list, you know, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, in this seemingly descending rank of harm done to the neighbors, you know, down to the conclusion of coveting. At the top of the list, this regard for respect for authority and those whom God has placed in positions of authority in our lives is paramount, and kind of the thread, if you're thinking of perhaps a sweater that is knit, that, you know, if there's one thread is pulled, the whole sweater, the whole fabric of culture and society unravels. And so respect and regard for authority are immensely important, and an expression of God's character and nature, and something that is truly good for us as authority is exercised in service of the people, you know, to whom it is given.
The Tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So you can buy your citizenship or be born into it.
Yes, for a time you could, you know, and this somewhat seems to date this context in time between, I believe, Claudius and Nero. Under Claudius's reign, you could purchase this, and it did then raise a lot of corruption and so on that attended that purchasing. And so this apparently is during that time. And the superiority of citizenship by birth is highlighted. But perhaps also we should not overlook the sense that our citizenship as people in or of the family of God is one that is purchased at great expense. That is the expense of our Savior's blood on the cross. And so then, secondly, the fact that we are our faith is the work of the sovereign Lord Himself in word and for us typically water and word baptism. Again, that we are born of God at the expense of Christ Himself is just truly a wonder and a mystery that God has accomplished such great things for us that our citizenship in heaven with God Himself, Christ our Savior, and also Christ our brother, is a wonder to truly ponder and savor in life, and recognize that we have an immensely beautiful and wonderful inheritance in glory with our Lord, and thus can live in this confidence and with the strength that we belong, that we have purpose, that we have a destiny, and that this is all secured for us, not something that we could earn or purchase, but is God's gift to us, and the mystery and the wonder of faith then just kind of unfolds in light of these events and the reality of God's plan for us.
So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him.
No non-binding authority at this point. they had to withdraw. And, the story will unfold with Paul being taken before the Sanhedrin and so on. But at this point, no authority. And I think the spiritual message for us, the application, can be then that we live our lives in faith, in Christ, and he is our authority in life, and that authority does come by revelation. It's a mystery and a wonder, in a sense, to look at the water and word of baptism, can these simple means accomplish such great things as the new man or new creation, or restoration of the image and character of God, and witness of Scripture is simply yes. Yeah, that's what happens as we come to Christ, come to God and to His Word, and are fed and nurtured in and under and with that Word, and God accomplishes the new creation, that which truly I think all of creation and all of the nations are really yearning for, the restoration of God's image and character in all of mankind, and that's our calling and that's our mission, the kingdom of God, building relationships with God, with each other in our service together as His people, His family, and also with the community in which we are called and placed by God's will and empowered with all of His Spirit and His blessings upon us.
Anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today, Pastor, as we wrap up our study?
Well, that sounds like a good wrap-up to me, I think.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Pastor, it's been a pleasure studying God's Word with you. Thank you for helping us take a look at this text in Acts chapter 22.
It's my joy and my pleasure, Andy, and God's blessing on you and all of our listeners this day.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, Alabama. Coming up in a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.